Ask that you would turn with me to 1 John, the epistle of 1 John chapter 3. I'd like to read several verses, starting at verse 1. We'd like to focus on the first couple verses, but 1 John chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. First John chapter 3, 1 to 7. First John chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. John, the son of Zebedee, says the following: Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. I'd like to conclude with verse 7. May the Lord bless you. You know, I have to admit it's somewhat intimidating to come to the gathering of the saints where you haven't been to in many, many years. In fact, I believe I was talking with my wife on the way here, and I think it was approximately 7 years the last time I was able to gather with you brothers and sisters. And so it is intimidating, and it could be for several reasons. One, I personally don't know the cares that you brothers and sisters might be dealing with. I don't converse with you on a day-to-day basis. I don't know your struggles specifically. I don't know your struggles as a family. I don't know if there's struggles with the gathering of the saints. I don't know of the concerns. If you have concerns, if you have thoughts on your mind, and the same is true of you with me. You also don't know my struggles. You don't know my concerns. You don't know my needs. However, one thing that is fundamental to the Christian faith that we do know right from the beginning is that we have a heavenly Father that desires relationship with his children. He desires fellowship with his children. He desires common union, communion with his children and with his dear Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And sometimes, brothers and sisters, we need to go back to the basics, if you will. Consider the fundamentals of our faith. To meet our needs, to meet our struggles, to meet our concerns. You know, when we consider society today, and we look around even at the family unit, which was instituted by God all the way back in Genesis chapter 2, when we consider the family unit today, that relationship between a father and son, we know is, we can say, not that strong. When statistically speaking, even in North America, and I'll include Canada, 1 in 4 children are fatherless. That is a great concern for the family unit. And it's extremely sad to see that children will grow up with no relation with their father. If you will, no fellowship, no bond together with their father. And obviously we can see of the devastating consequences that that has, where there is no mentorship. There's no guidance. There's no love from a father to a son if there is no father. And then we question why we see what we see today. Sometimes we need to get back to the fundamentals. And just like John shared in his epistle, right in chapter 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. He explains what that is and goes on in verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you. What? What is he declaring? That ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. That which was from the beginning, the desire that the Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father, brothers and sisters, desires a relationship with His children so that He can be glorified, so that He can be magnified, so that His love can be shared to His creation. This was from the beginning. And we can see that when we go all the way back to Genesis and we see the creation, the pinnacle of God's creation of mankind, and the call that He gave out to Adam. And if we look at the genealogy even of Jesus Christ, I think it's in Luke chapter 3, we can see when so-and-so was the son of so-and-so, the son of so-and-so, and it goes all the way down and it says, the son of Adam, which was the son of God. He was son of God, Adam. There was a relationship with His Heavenly Father being created by His Heavenly Father. And the Father gave him guidelines and principles, and he desired to work with his creation. And yes, we know what happened, the seduction or the deception of the serpent, how the serpent beguiled Eve, and now we have this separation from righteousness, a separation of the family unit from the Father. And Adam goes and hides himself and covers himself in the garden. Well, who told you you were naked, Adam? And so then sin separates. But yet there is a thread of grace that continued through the lineage from Adam. We can see that even when Eve conceived with Seth, and the scripture says in, I believe, Genesis chapter 4, and it goes through 5, how Seth, in those days, men called upon the name of the Lord. And then we go further and we look at that lineage that continued down from Adam, that thread of grace, so to speak, where God desired relationship with His children. We keep going past Enoch, Methuselah, we go down to Noah. And even though that the Lord saw the wickedness in this world was so great, He still remembered His relationship with His children. And He called out Noah, who was a just and perfect man. And we know the account of building an ark or the protection or the salvation of those eight persons. And yet we see the opposition and Satan trying to attack with Ham, seeing his father's nakedness. But yet we see this thread of grace that is carried on through his children with Shem. And there was a protection of covering his father's nakedness. And he was blessed, the scripture says. And you go down through the descendants of Shem. We have Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And clearly we know of the covenant that was given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And if you are faithful, Abraham, your seed will be blessed, like the stars and the sand of the sea. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and we know of the account of the blessing of Jacob upon his children and slavery. They were thrown into Egypt, and they were stuck in this bondage, if you will, this world of sin. But yet our Heavenly Father loved his people, his creation so much. What did he tell Moses? He told Moses to go and speak to Pharaoh in Exodus chapter 4. And he said this in verse 22, "And thou shalt say," speaking to Moses, "and thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my," what? "Is my son, even my firstborn." And what were they called to do? To get out of Egypt, out of slavery, and offer praises to who? Their Heavenly Father. And here they go, out of slavery, out of bondage, to worship their Heavenly Father, and 40 years in the wilderness, wandering, destitute, with unbelief, with unfaithfulness, with idolatry, with adultery, because Satan in that opposition is still there. And it's not like they were a great people. They didn't have much going for them, brothers and sisters. God didn't call the Israelites because they were mighty. In fact, what I believe even in Deuteronomy, when the Lord was speaking to Moses in that last year of wandering, the Lord shared with him in Deuteronomy chapter 7. He said this, and Moses shared this to the people: "The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any people. For you were the fewest of all people, the least, the smallest, the ones who were worthless." Moses was telling the people from the Lord, that's who you were. "But because the Lord loved you," the scripture says, "and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you of the house of bondage." And I believe it's the prophet Hosea said, "The Lord loved you and called out his child of Egypt." But then we look through the scriptures and we see the prophet Isaiah and Jeremiah. We see the unbelief of the children of Israel. And then the question is, well, did God cast away his people? Where did the love go? And clearly, brothers and sisters, we know, of course not. But rather that in the fullness, the completion of time, he sent for not his firstborn. The scripture says, I believe in Galatians chapter 4, his only begotten son. So that now through him, the world, all nations can be saved. Not just those of Israel, but all nations can be saved, can experience sonship, or in other words, kinship, a relationship with the Father. And brothers and sisters, we can attest to that. We can say amen, amen, because we've experienced the resurrection power through the Spirit, only by the begotten Son of God. And here we are, brothers and sisters, who I call my brother and my sister. We have the same Father. the eternal heavenly Father. We are his children. And what does John say in 1 John chapter 3? Behold! He says, brothers and sisters, he says, behold, which doesn't just mean to acknowledge. It doesn't just mean to, hey, FYI, you're a son of God. No, no. To behold means to perceive with all of our senses, to taste, to smell, to experience, to know, to turn our full attention to this. And John is telling the saints in the first century church, he's saying, behold, don't forget this very fact, the fundamental fact that we have seen from the beginning. You have fellowship with your heavenly Father. He says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed, has granted, has given unto us, that we should be called the sons of God. And yes, the greatest example, God is love. God is agape. This voluntarily sacrificing of oneself for the betterment and sake of somebody else. He saw value, brothers and sisters, in his creation. He saw value in you and me. And John is saying, behold, pay attention to this love, that you can have this relationship with the Heavenly Father, to be called sons, children, if you will, of God. What is a son? Seems to be a simple question. What is a son? When you think of your children, what do you think? What is a son? Clearly, it's offspring. It is reproduction of the Father. It's kinship. It is such a close relation of the first degree. Brothers and sisters, your children, they are you, and they are your spouse. My children, my son is me. When I see my son, I see me, and I see my wife. Just as an aside, father, it means generator. It means creator. Mother means source of all living, Eve. So this is a son. So when you consider your children, when you consider your son or your daughter, that is your offspring. And the characteristics that they exhibit, the characteristics that my son or my daughters exhibit, whether good or whether bad, they are me. And they are my wife. So what does that mean if we are sons of God? If we are offspring of God? What are the characteristics that we exhibit on an everyday basis? One thing we do know in verse 2, John says the following, beloved, now are we the sons of God. And so often, brothers and sisters, we forget this. We forget that at this very moment, we are children of God. We have been born again, the scriptures says. We know that in 1 Peter chapter 1, the scripture says that Peter says that we have been born not of corruptible seed that's perished, but of incorruptible by the word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. This is right now. In Romans, Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 8 the following. He says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, They are the sons of God, present tense. And so there are going to be times, and we've experienced this, where there is that deception or beguiling of the serpent, that there's a separation from the Father. And the doubts are going to come into our mind. You are not of your heavenly Father. Look at you. You're worthless. You have no value. What example were you? You should have done this, 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 and this. And there's going to be a continual attack upon us. And then the struggles are going to come in, the squeezing and the pressing of life. We cannot forget that at this very moment, when we were born again, we've experienced sonship, relationship, fellowship with the Father. And we are His children. We cannot forget that. What else do we know about being sons, children, daughters of God? What do we know? Apostle Paul was very clear about this, and he shared this many times. He used the term adoption. And today we might have different views on adoption because of Canada might be a little bit different, but in the United States we have laws of the land, and there are certain adoption requirements you need to fulfill, and you have certain rights and maybe restrictions over the children that you adopt. But essentially speaking, you are taking on a son or a daughter into a family. And when we go back into the scriptures, into the first century church during the Roman Empire, the term son was not that great of a term. You were actually just above slavery. And so the father controlled you. He controlled all your wages. He controlled what you did, where you worked, to a point of even how you act, all the way to putting his son, if needed, to death. But there was a term adoption that was used by Paul. And this term was so beautiful, so loving, so caring. This term of adoption that Paul used throughout Scripture was something much more deeper than we can experience. You took on that son as your own blood relative, where there was a sense of value in that child. And that child, brothers and sisters, if they were adopted, had no more relationship with their past father, their biological father. In other words, you were as good as dead in their eyes. Nothing. And the new father of this adoption had full rights to the son. So now as we read the words of Apostle Paul, like when we find in Galatians, it means so much more. Listen to this in Galatians chapter 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. There is no more relation to the earthly father, so to speak, of sin and death, of the father that was under the law of sin and death. It was fully separated and done with. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. I believe Apostle Paul speaks about it in Romans chapter 8, that we've been given the spirit of adoption as sons. So not only is it present tense, we are sons and daughters today, but we've been adopted. We've been taken over because our Heavenly Father, brothers and sisters, sees value in each and every one of us. So much so that he was willing to send his only begotten Son for the sake of the world, the sins of the world. So yes, not only have we been adopted, we are sons and daughters, children of God. Now, we know Scripture also says we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, a position that is so high, so favored, That within this kingdom, brothers and sisters, we are joint heirs with Christ. But we also know that if a father loves his children, he chastens them. And Scripture is very clear. I've been going through Hebrews, and in Hebrews chapters 11 and 12 specifically, it speaks, the writer of Hebrews was reminding the people, he says, did you forget what King Solomon shared in Proverbs? Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourges his sons and his daughters. Why? Because he loves them and he cares about them to go on the right path. When my child comes to me and says, Daddy, I want to go ride my bicycle on the highway without a helmet, I don't say, go right ahead, son, and have fun. I tell him, no, the dangers and the risk outweigh any benefits. You're not going there. And by the way, put a helmet on. I chasten my son because I love him. Brothers, you chasten your children. Sisters, you chasten your children because you love them. And so will you experience the chastening of the Lord in different ways? We experience it through his word. We experience it through the Holy Spirit and convictions that are upon us. We experience it through the brotherhood. Because we're brothers and sisters, one of another. And so we have to remember that the Lord loves us. He chastens us. But in verse 1, it also says, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Does, brothers and sisters, children of God, does the world know us? Does the world know us? And that doesn't just mean this type of acknowledgement. Oh, they know the believers that gather on Wednesdays and Sundays on, I don't know the street here, but here. Does the world know us? This term knowing has a very, very deep meaning. And going all the way back in Scripture, it's a type of idiom, if you will. It has a deep meaning between a husband and a wife. It's intimate. There is an extreme connection and a relationship. And so the question is, does the world know us in that way? Because what does James say when he was speaking and writing that letter to the church in Jerusalem? He says, don't forget, if you are friendship of the world, that is enmity with God. Brothers and sisters, if we have been adopted into the sonship of our Heavenly Father, the relationship with our past father, the devil, like Jesus when he shared to the Pharisees in John, that is cut off and away, done with. The world doesn't know us. And then what's the world? John shared that in the previous chapter. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And so the question is, does the world know you? Does the world know me? Does the cares of this life catch up so much that I have this connection again with the world? Does the materialistic things, and no, it's not just a modest dress. It's my possessions, it's my riches, it's the things that I covet after. It's the things that may be on our phones. And we're going to hide those things from our brothers who have the same Heavenly Father as us. Because there's a connection with the world. You know, that's a very personal question. But as we sift through the Scripture this morning, we have been reminded that we are called in verse 2 Our focus needs to be on the appearing of Christ continually. Continually. And if that is the case, we will be purifying ourselves every step that we take, so that we don't know the world. Why? Because the world didn't know Christ. He had no relation with the world. And so if our eyes are on Christ and his appearing, John says, if that is the case, he says, every man that hath this hope purifieth himself, even as he is pure. And brothers and sisters, there is going to be that day where, just as a father comes home to his children after a busy day of work, and I thought about this week, who comes running to the door? My children. And they're jumping up and jumping up, and, Daddy, Daddy, we have to tell you about today. And we sit down and we talk. And they know what to expect, because when I left that morning, I told them to behave. I told them to complete their tasks, to learn in their schooling, because when Daddy comes home, he's going to ask. They know their duties. And it's funny, when one doesn't complete their duties and Daddy comes home to see his children, they're not too excited to see their daddy. How excited are we for the appearing of Christ? So that at that day, when Paul says the appearing of God and of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, when that day comes, we are so excited to share with our Heavenly Father and with His Son the fellowship we have, what we can do for Him and what we did for Him, how we lived out righteousness, how we purified ourselves. And no, that doesn't only mean mortifying the deeds of the flesh, but it also means what we're putting on for our robe of righteousness: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and the love the Father gave us. Behold, brothers and sisters, what love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called sons of God. Therefore, the world knows us not. We are His children right now. We have been adopted. We've been called joint heirs with Christ. We will be chastened because He loves us. But we must continue. We must continue purifying ourselves, even as He is pure. So may these few words be encouragement and strength for our inner man, to remind us of fundamentally some basic principles, heavenly reminders of our relationship with our Father and our duty here below. Amen.
We'll finally sing the glory and honor of our